This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
On the air now? Well, okay. Well, welcome to the Ralph Winterroad Show. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad II coming to you live out of Alaska. And I'm getting real close to understanding what these guys did. I've been researching it out, and I just want to make a couple of statements. Boy, people in Alabama, please go out and vote. Get in and judge more. There's a bunch of liars and thieves out there. These evil, demonic Democrats, and these even there is a sitting Republican senator didn't even vote for Judge Moore. I mean, this deep state, this Rhino and corruption is so deep, man. I'm telling you, it shocks the conscience, actually. But boy, they're scared spitless of Judge Moore, and they're scared spitless of Trump. Two people they can't control. Of course, Trump is, I don't agree with everything he says, but then how do you try to find people that are honest when there's so many of them, there's not a lot to pick from? It isn't like if you're on the other side, because the percentage is so monumental. They're all got their, they're all basically will sell their soul for $1.98. So anyway, I sure hope the people in Alabama go, and I hope he wins by a landslide over 10 points. That's going to send shockwaves to these Democrats and liars and Pelosi and Schumer and Obama and all these other corrupt. I do believe that they're going to finally get to them. I heard a little bit of that Pensacola speech just relayed to me that the whole reason why Hillary hasn't been, it's just rigged. I don't know what Sessions is doing up there, the Attorney General. I don't know if he's a coward or been threatened or what, or if he's actually doing something behind the scenes. I don't know, but I'm not impressed with him so far, I can tell you that. I thought he was going to really be something, but he's not, so far, to my knowledge anyway. It's not somebody that I would really support right now as a thing, because he got around and walked away from the Mueller, wouldn't even be in there. You give him a thing, that guy should be in jail along with all of his other compadres that are in there and looking at all this time, and where's the, what have they found? Nothing from Russia. We got conclusive evidence on the other side. They put these people in for treason. Nothing yet. I think it's going to happen. I think there's only so, they can only keep this lid on it so long, and people are going to get fed up, or yeah, they are getting fed up. And I think that vote on Judge Moore will be indicative of that. So, anyway, I am researching out, because basically Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, most of it has nothing to do with anything. I found this in the Buck Act. I had a guy a couple of weeks ago called in. I was back to the Buck Act. I had worked it back to that. That's where I was in 1947. He called in on 1939 Salary Act, Public Salary Act. And I went to there, and it went right into the Buck Act in the 1940, went into the 1947 Buck Act. And so I was, and I'm really reading the legislative history to understand this stuff. Because what I found out, it was the last Sunday or the Sunday before, just shocked me. And now I'm understanding why this thing has never really been unraveled. And I'm getting real close. I understand what they did now. And I'm checking the definitions and that of what is in Title 26, what is used, what is not used. Where did this stuff come from? And I tracked the, because I have the 1926 code, I have all of the 1940 code, I even have all the 1935 code, which I haven't looked in yet. They almost screwed it up when I had that cut apart. It was a super, super thick book. All of it put together with thin pages, and they almost screwed it up in there, but it, they didn't get it to where they went right up to the edge. But this Buck Act is a scary thing. And the bottom line of all of this, still, I was on John's show Friday with a guy, Al something, I don't know what his name was, the national emergency, and that's part of what's going on, but there's only some statutes they've done that to. But the source problem starts with, if anybody's listened to this show, is in 14 Stat 27, 1866, when they made Citizen of the United States to have the same rights as a white citizen, the blacks. That's when they started this fictional nonsense. And they memorialized that part of it into the 14th. Well, we had the 13th and the 14th and the 15th. Those were all for the blacks. But, of course, then after they got in 1868, well, then, of course, in 1870, they come along and they said they could have naturalized them and made them like everybody else. And I have cases now. I haven't published them yet. Somebody sent me some information, because I look at everything, give it a quick check to see if there's something there, and where they are taking people that have been naturalized, and then they're unnaturalized, they're going to boot them back out. And there is some of the most beautiful, because I've never been able to, the ones that I've had to redact out the names and the pictures, because I didn't want to get them in trouble. Well, in these briefs, they go in and they start off. They become a citizen of the United States. And then the DOJ puts in evidence at the end that says citizen of the United States of America when they're naturalized. Wait a minute here. They are not the same. They are not even close to the same. And this is one of the things that is extremely difficult, is all the courts, all this legislation is a codified, giving new meaning to common usage words, or selecting words that are quite close, like citizen of the United States, which sounds really good, versus citizen of the United States of America. And there's this is just like Esau in the Bible. It's Esau sold his birthright for some forage and little beans and his lineage and the right to own property. We have to keep doing it, because we revert back always to the law of the land, to being a citizen of one of the several states, which means we belong to, these are 50 countries, separate, all separate, with their own constitution. They're all there. They're not using them today, just like the Constitution of the United States. We don't use it. It's a scam. It's a con. And it is extremely clever. But they've done this in little bits and pieces. They take a piece here and they take a piece here. And the real short story is that we, the people, had to be conned into being a citizen of one of the several states, like a citizen of Texas or citizen of North Carolina, citizen of Minnesota, because the elective franchise only exists for a citizen of one of the several states. It does not exist for a citizen of the United States. The citizen of the United States in the 14th Amendment, which I've got the Cruikshank case, Slaughterhouse, they did a brief on it in 1885. It's in the 1938 congressional record. The citizen of the United States is only for the power of Congress to pound on one of the several states or the people that are supposedly empowered public officers. That's it. That says otherwise, a citizen of the United States remains dormant. So they got we, the people, to abandon our correct status, just like Esau. Then in 1913, they got to the several states with the legislatures of the several states, because they're the ones that have the senators, not we, the people. We, the people, are in the House of Representatives. The Senate is representation of the states. They're all equal. So the several states lost their standing, and that went back to, quote, the citizen of the United States. And, of course, if you listen to the show, why the real party of interest from 1789 to 1913 was always just, quote, United States, end quote. Then in 3 years, it changed from United States to United States of America, which is a sovereign body politic. Because guess what? You see, the several states, they don't have any representation anymore. We, the people, don't either, because we've been dumbed down. We don't have a clue. We'll fight for being a citizen of the United States. That's what's so amazing is in this documents here I got on this immigration. It takes 5 years to become a citizen of the United States of America. You have to sign and swear in and all this and give up all your allegiance to all the foreign countries and all this. And yet you can come out of Mexico, come across the border and have a kid, and he ends up being a citizen of the United States. He's not a citizen of the United States of America. He's not naturalized. He's in the land of Oz. And when you get that concept down, I found it in the 1914 words and phrases. When they start doing this stuff, the legislature turns in to becoming the judiciary. We no longer have the third branch of government. And it's quite easy to see that, because if you are a, quote, taxpayer, and you end up in the tax court of the United States, which is not a court under 28 U.S.C. 609. It says so. It's not a court. They changed it back before 1948. There used to be the tax appeal thing, and they were doing regulation. They said, well, we'll just change it to court, and then we don't have to abide by the regulations. But they're not a court. Got a brief out of Kariski. Boy, if you haven't seen that one, that's just a killer one. It goes right into it. There is no judicial determination in the tax court of the United States. It does not exist. Don't exist. Like I say, you just can't make this stuff up. I mean, it just shocks the conscience. And so what these guys are doing, they have turned into this what's called the headless fourth branch of government. This is right out of the Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal, 1937, 400-page book. I got it out of Gonzaga Law Library and copied it. We don't no longer have a judicial system. It's all predetermined. because we're in the administrative state. That's why they always say, well, you have to exhaust your administrative remedies. Really? Now, why would I have to do that? Why would I have to exhaust my administrative remedies? Well, guess what? I'll get around and find this. Words and phrases here, I can't find it. That was just an amazing when I found this. I'll get around and find it when we go through break here. But what they've done, they turned into a judicial system. And why is that? Because you see, right out of the 1946 congressional record, where they put in the Administrative Procedures Act, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, before he died, but it passed under Truman, they were wanting to get, before it of anything touches what they call the individual citizen, the agency has to pass regulations. Really? Because here is something that most people, and I, right along with you, Congress cannot touch the citizens of the several states. They can't touch us. They can legislate for a citizen of the United States. If they had plenary, if they had jurisdiction where they ceded it in forts, arsenals, and all that, or in the District of Columbia, or in territory's possession, yes, they can reach those people. They cannot reach the citizens of these separate countries, sovereign countries that are called the several states. They can't reach us. Can't touch us. We have to keep signing up for it. And now that's all Congress has been doing. And I don't know when they started it exactly. I traced this tax thing back to 1926. But somewhere back in that time frame, all of a sudden since 1913, there's no parties to the Constitution anymore. Several states have wandered off with the 17th Amendment. And we've wandered off. Because they get around and they got all of these states getting you to sign up to be a citizen of the United States. And when you do that, you're under the plenary power of Congress. United States of America is a sovereign body politic. I've got that now in about 113 cases. Sovereign body politic. United States of America. I presume it's Congress. I don't know. It might be the president. I don't know the answer to that one yet. Haven't been able to prove it. But I know who it's not. They're not supposed to be a sovereign body politic legislating. And we've already tested this with Kirkendalls. Well, where in the holy heck did the real party of interest, quote, United States, end quote, where did he go? It go? It shows up only in two courts, the Federal Court of Claims. It used to be an Article 3 court, and then in 1984, they put it back to an Article 1 and made a Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, which is a bona fide Article 3 that actually does subject matter jurisdiction. Well, what are all these other courts then? What's the federal, what is the United States District Court? What is the 9th, 10th, 1st, 2nd? Well, what's all of these other appellate courts and the D.C. court? These courts, they put them in 1948. They are operating on geographical location, not subject matter. I've got that in a Senate report when they made the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. They explained it out. The only court that has national jurisdiction is the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals out of D.C. that comes to each one of the courthouses. If you ever get involved, or the Federal Court of Claims, they show up. Just like the tax court does, they show up locally. They need even a court. So how are we going to get out of this freaking damn mess? Now, see, they did this in 1948. Those other courts are adjudicating in what's called the federal areas. And in those federal areas, what they did in 1948, back in a minute.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, well, we're back here, and I found this. These are tough concepts. But boy, once you get the basic general idea down, they started off this country with statutes of the United States. Then somewhere they changed to public law. I've got all the statutes. I need to know when they did that. I just haven't taken the time to do it. But I found this in the 1914 words and phrases with some cases. And by the way, I have an IRS list for $250 donation. If you can't afford it, just email me at irs@alaskaminuteman.com and tell me why you can't afford it. And you can get on the list, and you also then can get all this stuff if you had Skype. I've got the ruling case law all done, 1929, and I have Amateur 1938, number one. I'm about so two-thirds of the way through that. I should be through that in another week and a half, 2 weeks. It's on Skype. Or eventually I'll get around, if you can get around at, I don't know, $25-$30 or something, and get it on a DVD. I don't like to do that because it takes time. But anyway, this is out of the 1914 words and phrases. I'm going to do that, by the way, too. Make it available. I've got all that. I got to scan. A public law is a measure that affects the welfare of a state as a unit. A private law is one that provides an exception to the public rule. The one is an answer to the public need. That's a public law. The other is an answer to a private prayer. Isn't that an interesting choice of word? Private law is an answer to a private prayer. You ever notice in some of these pleadings, they pray for relief? I don't know when that started, But I've always wondered, why in a court proceeding would you pray for relief? I thought I prayed to the Creator and all that. I didn't realize when I went to one of these kangaroo courts, I was praying to somebody in there. This is a very important concept. When it acts as a public bill, a legislature legislates. That's what we think is going on. When it acts upon a private bill, it adjudicates. So it's acting like a court. It passes from the function of a lawmaker to that of a judge. It is transformed from a tribunal of the people into a justice shop for the seeker after special privileges. They cite Anderson versus Board of Commissioners, 95 PAC 583. That's 95 PAC 583. This is the thing about the ruling case law. They've got tons of cases on stuff where in the later stuff they refer back to this, but they don't give you enough cases. You have to really understand all this. But now what are they talking about here? When they do a private law, which is what they're doing when they legislate everything for a citizen of the United States, that's all private. Because, you see, everybody has special privileges if you're a citizen of the United States. Easily determined. You're a citizen of the United States, you get Social Security. You get all these different benefits. The Supreme Court has ruled over and over and over, anytime you accept a benefit, you have no rights and no remedies. Shut the hell up. They can give you whatever they want, or they can even deny you a remedy. Supreme Court's done that. Go from Hayburn, 1792, all the way up through Babcock, and Dispute, Muskrat, all kinds of cases. That's not even in dispute. So they're legislating private laws. You see, like in Dillingham, the, quote, natives over there, they don't pay property taxes, but they're a citizen of the United States. They get to vote as a citizen of the United States, but they don't pay property taxes. The feds come in and reimburse the city of Dillingham. They can go out and kill a moose when they feel like it. Any Alaska native, a potlatch. I can't do that, but they can do that. They can go over on the coast and pick up ivory, and I can't do that. I got to have them put scrimshaw on it, then I can buy it after they've dealt with it. We're all citizens of the United States. That's called special privileges. The laws are supposed to act equally upon everybody. They don't. It's private law. And I'm going to get a module done on this, but I'm working on, which I'm going to get to, hopefully through most of the show here, some very important issues under this Buck Act, how they're this income tax scam. But what does it mean they adjudicate? Because when they do this, you have to go through the administrative remedies, and the results are already there. You have to go through the Federal Register, the Code of Federal Regulation, the regulations. It's already predetermined the output, whether you can or cannot ever get to any court or any remedy. Or they can deny it and say you can't go there, just like on the FAA. We're fighting with Dave Gladden right now. So far, we're doing very good. But they say if you got an administrative issue, you go straight to the Court of Appeals in the Ninth Circus. What the hell happened to the local court? You just can't make this stuff up. That's why it's so complicated. Because when you step into that morass, there is administrative law. We have administrative law judges. Who empowered those people? They're not elected by us. They live in what Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in this 400-page document of 1937, is called the headless fourth branch of government. So what they're saying is when they do a private bill, it adjudicates, you're heading into the administrative law. And you may or may not be able to ever get to any court. And it's all done by administrative people. It's done by people that are actually called inquisitors. They come out of Merry Old England. They look at what's going on, and they make the decision themselves, and the hell with the law. They're called inquisitor, and it's called an inquisition. Spanish Inquisition? I don't know, ring a bell? Comes out of the old Star Chamber. Merry Old England. They had inquisitors. They would go before there and you had to admit, confess to your crimes, to incriminate yourself. trilemma. That was the first part. The second one, under the penalties of perjury. The third part is, well, once you've confessed to the crime, and the second part of the trilemma, under the penalties of perjury, the third one is, well, I can get you for contempt of court. I can take your property because you already said so. You confessed your crimes. These courts are nothing more than inquisitions. Back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel: great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer: it works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Well, we're back here, and this is an important concept because it goes in the same thing and tells us the difference. And I don't know, like I say, I'm going to have to find out when they change this, but it says public and general as applied to statutes are sometimes synonymous depending upon the context, but they are not in all cases. Every general law is necessarily a public one, but every public law is not a general law. Thus, an act incorporating a city is a public law, but it is not a general law because it's only applicable to a certain particular locality. Now, one of the games that they're playing that I've been researching, as long as it doesn't discriminate, we can get away with private law. So if we can talk everybody into signing up to be a citizen in the United States and we don't tell them what it is, well, we're not discriminating. Y'all signed up for it, so what's the problem? Shut the heck up and just get along. Well, this brings up a very interesting situation. Because in the Senate report, I was looking in the 1940, they were having difficulties about taxation, whether, say, a Navy guy lived on base. And he would be exempt because he would be in federal jurisdiction. And then if he lived off base, he would be subject to the state income tax. So that was one of their excuses. And they said, well, that's really unfair. So they inducted they started off with in 1939 with the Public Salary Act, but they come up with the Buck Act. We're going to fix all that. We're going to have equal taxation for everybody. Really? Okay. this is, say, I don't know what, you can't make it up. It's just, and I have access to the, I think it's 1925 through 1985, the legislative history in Westlaw. And it's amazing what you can find out. The thing that I am noticing is you always find embedded citizen of the United States. They've been doing that for so long that nobody even thinks about doing anything else other than for a citizen of the United States. Tom in Florida. I didn't see that. You're up.
Good day to you, Ralph, and Merry Christmas season to you. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Same to you.
Okay, yeah, Ralph. Yeah, thank you. Talking about Franklin Delano DeCampo Roosevelt, his name is real DeCampo. I think he was basically backed by the Rothschilds, but we'll get into that another time. His name was DeCampo. DeCampo, whatever it was. Franklin Delano DeCampo. But whatever, the point of the matter is talking about immigration, Ralph, earlier. You talking about the IRS and all this. What about these? What about the governor of California and all these mayors breaking these federal laws with immigration? They should be arrested. And until Trump does that, I don't really see nothing. And if he allows DACA, that's insane. But talking about the 1965 Immigration Act, have you ever read that act, Ralph? Have you ever done the story on that on your show?
Not on 1965, but I can tell you right now, because I have downloaded some of what Sessions for the United States, or actually United States of America, which is amazing they use that. The one thing they will not go to is the definition of alien, because it says alien means. They use all sorts of definitions, but they step around that one because that would blow the lid off of the citizen of the United States or owing allegiance to the United States. They will not use it. And both sides do not use that definition. They use all other definitions, declarations. They walk around that one. Isn't that amazing? Go ahead.
Yeah, Ralph, you're absolutely right. I read the 65 Immigration Act, and there's a guy named, forget Kennedy. We got Kennedy who's a sellout, but you have this guy, Cuellar. I don't know if you're familiar with him. This guy was actually, what they found out, this guy was he was basically like a communist. And they were doing everything they could to flood this country without Europeans, to bring in all these Central American, Mexicans. It was unbelievable what happened there in 65. And the Congress at that time allowed this. It's almost unprecedented what they did.
Okay, so what's in the Immigration Act that's bad? Let's get to the point here.
The point is that they didn't want white Europeans coming in here anymore. They wanted to flood the place with anything out of Africa or Central or Mexico. They were trying to basically say no more white Americans, white Europeans allowed here to become white American citizens. They wanted to flood this place, and that's exactly what they did. Ralph, look at California. You got 4 million illegals in that state. Florida, you got Texas, you got all these states are being flooded, and nothing's been done other than Trump got in there. Reagan promised he was going to stop it after he had the amnesty. Everything's been a big conspiracy. And basically, Ralph, if you look at the wall, we don't have a wall on the southern border, but Israel's got a wall around its whole country.
Well, let me summarize, I think, what you're saying. The bottom line is, see, they're changing the demographics of America, just like they're flooding Europe with these Islamists, these Muslims. And they're bringing in all these people out of Mexico. They're all citizens of the United States. In California, somebody sent me the forms. You can get a driver's license. You have an address. Then you can get a driver's license. As soon as you get a driver's license, then you can register to vote. Isn't that amazing?
Ralph, it's not just Mexico, Ralph. It's not just Mexico. You got these Hispanics coming in here. And let me ask you this, Ralph. You got all these other Europeans that came here through the centuries that don't get to keep their, don't have 20 radio stations, 25 TV stations. There's more stations here in South Florida that are in Spanish than there is in English. More radio stations in Spanish than there is in English. Basically, they didn't come here to compliment. They came in to usurp you and kick you out of your own area. And basically, they came here to eat your lunch and take your job. That's what's happening here.
There's a lot of that. Yeah, it covers a lot of things on that. I don't want to spend much more time on it.
Hold on just a minute.
What they're doing is, because they can make money, they come from a country that's failed, and they come over here because we're passing out free money and benefits, and then they want to turn around and convert it back to the same type of country they just came from that was a piece of shit. And that's spaceless.
That's
nice. So that's basically your point. Okay, well, thanks for calling. It's not easy, I tell you. It's because the people that come here need to come here to be. We have a right. We have a culture, Christian culture, actually, and we will tolerate other things in her, but they're taking advantage of that situation in our country. We are ourselves going to destroy our Christian culture and base. And when we do that, we're done. Europe's on the way. Sweden and Germany and England's wising up somewhat, but we have a culture. That's why we have boundaries. If these people in over there, these Muslims or whatever, Jews or whatever the hell in their country, they want to do this crazy-ass stuff, fine, stay in your own darn country and do it. That's why we have borders. We have different cultures, different beliefs, different religions. There is no such thing as diversity. There is no such thing as multiculturalism. It does not work. It'll never work. It can never work. Somebody is always going to try to put down somebody else. That's just what, that's mankind. I mean, I don't want to convert to Islam. Thank you very much. That's not going to happen. That's their only thing. They will not assimilate. So what do we do? So anyways. Well, back to this, what I was talking about here, because this is really an important thing. We have been lied to. We have been hoodwinked. And I was looking in the 1940 Buck Act. And the thing that they said, well, we are going to have, and they defined this federal areas. Now, somebody gave me the Supreme Court case on income. I still got to look it up, but income is supposed to be it's on profit and stuff, so that's fine. And they couldn't get around the reapportionment in the several states. So what they did is we create a fiction, a law. We get everybody to believe it. And then what I found is in the Buck Act, the federales receded, which means they gave the authority for taxation to these states that are using citizen of the United States. They gave it back to the states, receded. I couldn't believe this. So, therefore, if you're a federal employee and you live in one of the, quote, states, they can tax you for city, anybody, and they put this into effect. And they call it a federal area. And they give it a definition. I've heard federal zone, but it's federal area. The term federal area means, okay, that means, when they say it means exclusive use of something, the word federal area means any lands or premises held or acquired by or for the use of the United States or any department, establishment, those things sit outside the government, agency of the United States, semicolon, and, semicolon. So now we got a separate one. And any federal area, comma, or any part thereof which is located within the exterior boundaries of any state shall be deemed to be a federal area located within such state. I struggled with that one many years, for a long time. Exterior boundaries. So say I'm in Texas, and the exterior boundaries, within there, it's deemed to be a federal area. How did they do that? How can they all of a sudden put you into a federal area within the external boundaries of Texas? So you're in Austin or whatever. Well, you see, they did a very interesting thing here, because one of the things that I was looking for is what did they do with the terms? You always got to look at the terms, because we're talking codified stuff. It's like Morse code. If you don't know Morse code, the problem is they mix up common usage words with what's called terms. Now, of course, you go, you look at, as soon as you can figure out what they're doing here with some of this, when they go down here to the definition of state, includes any territory or possession. Anytime it's a stat, that means you're outside the several states, because in territories and possessions, only citizens of the United States exist under the plenary power, because we are supposed to be in 50 sovereign countries called the several states. That is totally different venue and jurisdiction. Everything. Because it's under Article 3, arising under. That's law and equity, arising under. I mean, it was created by the constitutions. The commercial law and the admiralty law in Article 3 does not arise under. It predated, pre-existed. You will never see arising under admiralty or arising under the UCC. That's why you can't win with the UCC and you can't win with commerce or admiralty. I mean, we can use it against them, absolutely. But your inalienable rights is arising under. That means it came from that document. That document brought into existence our inalienable rights under the Creator, the Declaration of Independence, and that, arising under. So, what are they using for terms then? I went, the term income tax means any tax levied with respect or measured by net income, or gross receipts. That does not cross into the definitions of net income, or gross receipts of Title 26. They use it, the IRS does, but it's a bruise. Because it says means, but they use income tax, not income, income tax. Means any tax levied with respect to or measured by net income, or gross receipts. So then why is the IRS using gross income definitions of these states and referencing it in Title 26? They don't reference it to it in the Buck Act, where it's codified today. Didn't back then either. Interesting, huh? So then I said, okay, well, we got to know the definitions. We can't defeat this till we understand what term definitions they're using for the Buck Act. So you go up to, which is still codified today, the term person shall have the meaning assigned to it in Section 3797 of the Internal Revenue Code. Does the Section 3797 of the Internal Revenue Code exists today? No. So what is it? Well, it came out of the 1939 code. I have that. I found it in the 1940 code. I have all of that. I found it in the 1946 code. Then I went to the cross, because in Westlaw you can cross and say, okay, where are these definitions that are in 3797? Because if I'm going to be talking to the Internal Revenue criminals, the IRS, that is handed off, which is the next page I'll get to, how they did this, really slick. I mean, this is amazing. It's brilliant, actually. This is why it's never really been busted. I can understand why now. I've been looking in the wrong place for quite a few years. So the question becomes, where is it crossed over? Where do I go look and find out? I'm looking for the thing here. I don't know why I can't see it here. Where do I go look for what definitions that have application under 3797? Because that's where my answer is and how I can talk to these guys. And I'll have it here in just a minute. I got to go to 1947 here. And I'll bring up the cross here, hopefully. And where this all is, it goes to Title 26, 7701. Title 26, 7701. That is where the definitions that we can use for these guys today. That's where it's at. there is no definition of gross income to use. There's no definition of net income. No, they don't use that. They go back to this. They go back to income taxes, any tax. Any tax. So they're saying any tax that a state, territory, or anybody has got that's under net income, or gross receipts. Well, then the question is, like in Minnesota, for one of them, I know for sure, or in North Carolina, why do they reference the gross income and net income? Because if they're using the Buck Act, they can't do it. Or can they? Because what they're doing, this is really slick. Like I said, this is just, you can't, you, it's, it, it boggles the mind. Back in a minute.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, well, we're back here. And the 1939 code goes to 7701, and it goes through A through a whole bunch of those definitions. But you see, in the definitions of the Buck Act, it says the term person shall have the meaning assigned to Section 3797 of Title 26. Okay, so where does that go? That shows up in 7701A1 only. So the way I'm reading this now, because that is under the Buck Act, that's the only definition they're using, is the definition of person, which is in out of the 1939 code, is for individual, partnership, corporation, and all that. That's it. They define sales or use tax in the Buck Act, but it doesn't go anywhere. An income tax means, they give it a definition, means any tax levied with respect to or measured by net income, or gross receipts. Doesn't say it goes to the definition in Title 60, 2661 or 63 or any of that. Doesn't say so. So that's what I am thinking this thing through, because this is really important. They're using only the definition of person in 7701A16. Everything else in Title 26 is not used. That can't be. That's impossible. Or is it? Because you see, the federal government, the government of the United States, actually, the government of the United States, couldn't get around the apportionment of the states. They couldn't get around income is profit by the Supreme Court of the United States. So what they do, it called reseated it. So we put it back to the states. And any tax, because now it makes it easy, any tax, income taxes, any tax levied with respect to or measured by net income, or gross receipts. Now, here's the interesting part. I got to think this through, but I don't know the answer to yet. How can the Buck Act put it back to the states? If they've reseeded it to the Buck Act, then technically, probably, the states then could say, okay, well, then we can go back and use net income, or gross receipts. Because like in Minnesota and in North Carolina, they reference going back to those definitions. So you see how they chain this? So technically, they could probably make a case for that. Person out of the Buck Act only goes to 7701. That's the only place it goes. And let me bring that up and I'll read it. And this is important, because we're gonna put these guys into such a corner, because the term person is construed to mean include an individual, a trust, a state, partnership, association, company, or corporation. Okay, so the question becomes then where they want to call us individuals. This is why they hook this together. And if you don't have the stuff at your fingertips, it becomes monumental to ever even figure this out. So under the Buck Act, they use the definition of person, 3797, which is now in 7701A1. So what's an individual? Well, they did that in 1974. I tracked that back. That's in 5 U.S.C. 552A. 5 U.S.C. 552A. That's a definition of individual. And I'll pull this up. It may have to be I got to pull up the 1974 here, because I didn't get back in time here to get this all done. But if you go to Title 5 and read it, this is where the government, if we call the government, if you want to call it that, the thing that we have today, the only thing that they can do, all of the, it says the term individual means a citizen of the United States or an alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence. Well, now we know logically, we can prove that a citizen of the United States did not make this country. The definition didn't even come along to 1866. So we know that for a fact. And we know that an alien lawfully admitted for a permanent residence sure to hell didn't have anything to do with these standing in any of these sovereign countries. And this is about they cannot maintain any records on anybody unless you're a citizen of the United States or an alien. Back in a minute.